I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, May 11th, 2019, in our nation's capital. A quick shout-out to my boy, Tom Daly, Grant and Danny's producer, who gets married later today. And I can't wait to attend the ceremony. We got a jam-packed show for you today. And I thought a lot about how I wanted to start today's program because I had so much content to pull from this week. Now, I know that if you listen to this show, you probably, many of you have come over from Chad Dukes' program because he's kind enough to have me on every Friday at 2:45 p.m. And this is the part that I had to really give some thought. See, Dukes has three producers, and I have the lovely Jim Jester. But sometimes things come together so well in that 2:45 segment. And this is not to put anything past Jim Jester. He's a fine producer. I just feel like it's so much better than anything that we could come up with for this show. And this is one of those rare instances. And so the 2:45 segment, I really feel like if I'm leading with my best stuff on today's show, I need to play this clip from that segment right here on this show. Now, I understand, guys, all you longtime downloaders out there, that it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. How could you be playing something previewing this show on this show? It's like mind-boggling, right? But you're just going to have to ride with me because, again, it was like a symphony. Everything came together so perfectly. And so without further ado, I can't give you any setup. You just have to be surprised if you haven't heard it. It's just better that way. Trust me. This week's very rare iteration of the Dukes Rewind.
The Chad Dukes Rewind on the download.
Speaking of national stuff, Dukes, yes. PJ Elliott was running the update desk last night.
Hey, Peach.
And the Nats had just announced the signing of Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
An outfielder. And PJ had a little trouble pronouncing his name. And I don't think he was too happy to know that that I had been listening at the time. If you could play Peej Flub Cut One for me, Landfill.
But Aaron, at 6:45, we
But Aaron
have breaking news with our guy PJ Elliott right here on the Fan.
Sports Radio. But Aaron.
Sports news.
What is going
on? Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
That's what happened.
I'm PJ Elliott at the breaking news sports desk. Nats announcing today that they have made some moves, including the signing of Gerardo Parra to a one-year contract.
Oh, I have another update from PJ over here.
HootersHookie.com.
Oh, you killed him, Shorts.
He still couldn't get it right by his second update.
Meanwhile, Nationals announcing just a short time ago that they have signed outfielder Gerardo Parra to a one-year contract.
Parra.
HootersHookie.com.
I have never heard Peej screw up anything like that since the Mike Wise days.
Come on, Wise. You can't say that.
And by update three, Peej let us know that the Nationals were releasing a statement.
Nationals releasing a statement earlier today that they have signed Gerardo Parra to a one-year contract.
Oh,
he's an outfielder. They've also placed outfielder Andrew Stevenson on the 10-day injured list. That goes retroactive to May 7th. He's been dealing with back spasms. Jimmy Cordero has been designated for assignment.
You know, this segment is supposed to be about the biggest stories that are on the website. And Shorts just uses it to roast people now.
I mean, look, I'm just here to make people happy, Dukes.
You're not making Peach happy, I'll tell you that much.
Am I making you happy, Dukes?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, there we go.
Thanks.
Russell had a bit of a change of heart about Bruce Allen, it turns out, this week. Bruce, obviously not a guy that Russell has been a huge fan of over the years, but I want you to hear this.
Boys, I believe in Bruce Allen.
Wow. That's a turnaround.
I'm really a believer in Bruce and the boys.
What?
I'm so stupid. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I am a complete blithering moron.
Done. Perfect. Thank you, Rooster. That's all anyone's ever wanted. God.
We had a little bit of a mystery happen as I was preparing this segment today. Rooster, yesterday we discovered on your show, had a Blue Chew
yes.
advertisement.
Yes, and we had some audio that we debuted on the program of the Rooster erotically reading an advertisement for a knockoff penis pill.
Now, when I went to find the audio today, it was gone.
Really?
And Landfill couldn't find it, and he was the one who saved it.
So it was erased? Surreptitiously erased?
It begs the question, did Rooster erase it?
Well, no, he's too stupid.
Is he?
But he could give somebody a five spot and have them erase it.
Well, fortunately, we were able to find it again.
Where was it?
On his podcast, where we found it.
Oh, so he erased the copy that we had. You had to go back to the source.
Right. And fortunately, we still have this audio.
We normally talk about football. But now we're going to talk about sex. Yeah, that's right. Something everybody likes, or at least you should like. A good sex, right? I mean, that's important, too. Remember the days when you were always ready to go?
God, it gets worse. Every time I hear it, it's worse.
You can be ready to go whenever an opportunity arises.
He has so
that's
much
right.
saliva mm-hmm. in his mouth. You hear all the stuff in his mouth? Gross.
Now, I am confident after listening to that and then listening to Chris Russell on with Aaron Hawksworth last night, I'm confident that Russell is, in fact, taking his Blue Chews.
We love Aaron Hawksworth around here, don't we, boys?
That's not appropriate. She is a co-worker.
Now, that was the short version of the clip. Would you like to hear the full thing?
You're going to get him fired.
We love Aaron Hawksworth around here, don't we, boys? She is fine quality entertainment.
Dude, what does he think is going to happen?
That's all one clip. That's not edited or anything.
Shorts, you're going to get PJ and Rooster fired in one segment. It's outrageous. Anything else?
We love Aaron Hawksworth around here, don't we, boys?
It's just not appropriate. I don't think that's appropriate, Rooster. You wouldn't say that if you were anchoring with Craig Hoffman.
How gross is it when his voice goes deeper and gravelly?
It's the same voice as this. Is the Blue Chew?
Don't we, boys? Hey, boys, you know what we won't do around these parts. You ain't getting out of here alive.
We love Aaron Hawksworth around here, don't we, boys?
Oh my God, dude!
So gross.
Blue Chews.
He's a pervert.
I'm gonna grind up six of them, snort them,
Chris Russell,
snort them right here on the counter. I'm Chris Russell.
God, what a monster he is.
Yeah, so people can look forward to that tomorrow at 7 a.m. right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Imagine doing a Redskins podcast, and then all of a sudden he's like, ooh, I got a big rager in my pants. I bet we all do, don't we, boys? Use my promo code if you want a day-long rager like what I got going on. I don't know, but I am uncomfortable with his antics. Rooster, stick to Zaxby's and being wrong about the Redskins.
Isn't he in the other room?
No, I don't think so. He is? Oh. But awkward. Rooster, I had nothing to do with this. This cackling idiot came in here with audio that I did not approve of. Stop. By the way, if you are erasing my show audio, stop doing that. That's property of CDVTW.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. So tomorrow, is any of this going to make your show tomorrow, or are you just in here attacking people?
A little bit of both.
All right. 7 a.m. Listen to Hey Dude with Blue Shorts.
Thank you, dude.
And then what is it? At Chris Lingbach.
That's right.
There it is. Thank you, Shorts. Very controversial segment today. Are you serious? Are you serious?
The Chad Dukes Rewind on the download.
I told you. It was just better just to replay it. It's better than anything that I could, any formulation of how I could have recreated it here live today on this program. It's just better that way. And that's not to say that I'm going to short you on the Junkies Rewind, because that's coming too. And that'll be later in the show. That's a staple of this program. And I'd be hard-pressed to give that the axe. But I certainly hope you guys enjoyed that this morning. Let's jump into our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com.
Number five.
The NBA playoffs are in full swing. The Washington Wizards, though, their focus is just on finding a GM. Now, it would have been nice, I would think, to have a GM at some point before the NBA draft, which isn't too far off now. But next week, we got the draft lottery. The Wizards, wouldn't you know, have a 9% chance of landing the top pick, which is almost guaranteed to be used on Duke's Zion Williamson. But on with the Sports Junkies this week, Ben Standing of NBC Sports Washington, he explained what bringing Zion Williamson, if the Wizards hit on that 9% chance, might mean to DC Sports. And I got to tell you, I think it's safe to say he's been deluged by angry Ovi fans on Twitter ever since.
It kind of would be like the RG3 thing. When RG3 came, there was a huge buzz and electricity before he even played one down.
Absolutely. I mean, RG3 that year, I mean, he wasn't the number one pick, but it was pretty clear from a personality standpoint that he was the guy to see. And obviously in his case, at least for a while, it all lived up to the hype. And yeah, and sort of the point of the article, it was just based on, you know, thinking about, you know, dreaming the dream. If Zion came here, what does it mean? Obviously, from a Wizards perspective, it would be, I think, as EB said, a game changer on and off the court. You know, helping win games, get people in the seats, all that stuff. But when you broaden it out to the whole area, when you consider that NBA stars are basically in this country the biggest individual stars we have. They do basically trump all the other pro teams, of maybe the single exception of Tom Brady. That Zion Williamson, he's not LeBron, he's not Curry, he's not Durant, he's that next tier, day one, because of what he's done at Duke, because of the potential. I have no idea if he'll reach their status as a player, but as an interest, he is right there off the bat. And yeah, again, no offense to the Ovechkin people, I get it, but the NBA is different, and Zion Williamson is a different animal. Just anybody who's watched him, as you guys obviously have, I think recognizes that.
That is our fifth most read story of the week from thefandc.com. When we come back, our top four stories of the week in DC sports. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. Let's pick up where we left off in the biggest stories this week in DC sports.
Number four.
So this came as a result of that endless, pointless Joe Theismann, Dwayne Haskins jersey flap. But I guess like a week after all of that happened, then Peter King decided to get in on the action. He took it upon himself to assess Joe Theismann's career credentials in his latest Football Morning America column. In that column, Peter King writes, quote, "I think Joe Theismann even seeming to suggest Dwayne Haskins had to kiss his ring before being rewarded with the number 7 jersey in Washington is really weird and a little bit mindful of the emperor with no clothes. Would anyone think that a man with fewer passing yards than Steve Grogan and Jim Harbaugh, with fewer touchdown passes than Earl Morrall and John Kitna, with a lower career rating than Kyle Horton and Dave Krieg, should have his number retired?" King goes on, quote, "Mark Rippon won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson and Jeff Hostetler won one. Come on. The fact that Washington never gave Theismann's number out for years after his gruesome injury is a nice gesture, I suppose. But it's silly to think he was an all-timer, the kind of player whose number should never be worn again." End quote. You can read more about that at thefandc.com. Peter King breaking out the heavy lumper.
Number three.
Oh my God, it's back again. The last time we checked in on the never-ending saga of the TV rights dispute between the Nats and Orioles, the Nats were claiming the O's had stopped paying the money. The latest turn broke last weekend with a report out of the Baltimore Sun indicating that Masson may soon have to pay up. I bet. The Orioles' own TV network must now pay the Nats tens of millions of dollars in past due broadcast rights fees, an arbitration panel has ruled. And in a long-awaited committee ruling by Major League Baseball, the Nats have been awarded $100 million or $20 million a year in added fees covering 2012 through 2016. However, there's always a however. The Nats won't really get the nearly $100 million payout. Masson must restate its financial results for the five-year period covered in that ruling. With Masson paying more in rights fees, there is less available for profits, and after the adjustments, Washington would net about $60 to $70 million. And in the most predictable outcome ever, in the days since, of course, we have learned that the Orioles will, in fact, appeal this latest ruling. Jesus Christ. And I mean, this is... What do I have to do for this storyline to end? Me, myself, personally, have been covering this. I've been covering this for years. I thank God that we have a staff here so that I'm able to pass this story off to other people. And thank God they're great at what they do, and they do a nice enough job. I'm so sick of the Masson dispute. You know, for the longest time, there was this belief that it would sort of like affect how the Nationals approached Bryce Harper's free agency for years leading up to it. Years. And then Bryce Harper comes and goes, and well, now that's out of the way, and yet this whole bag of dirt is still here. The Masson dispute. I mean, I can't take it anymore. I just give me finality. I want to see the end of this story. We're like 8 years invested in this darn thing. It's ridiculous.
Number two.
The Junkies continue breaking news on the Alex Smith front. In a photo released by the Junks this week, which you can see at thesportsjunkies.com, nice seamless plug, you'll see the Alex Smith photo and see that Alex Smith, all of these months after his injury last November, is still wearing that bulky metal contraption that doctors are calling an external fixator around his injured leg. Jason Bishop had this to say on the Junks. A buddy of mine spoke with a doctor, one of Alex Smith's doctors, not going to say names, but the doctor said they took so much soft tissue out of his leg, there's just no chance he can play. End quote. I don't even know how that's legal for him to have that information. But kudos to him, and I never questioned Junkies reports. Read more at thesportsjunkies.com.
And now, the number one most read story of the week on thefandc.com.
Old Thad Dukes landed in the top spot this week with his interview of WWE superstar Becky Lynch, who, okay, I'm not a professional wrestling fan, but in my research, I've learned that she is the unified WWE Women's Champion, I'm doing well here, and she holds both belts, both women's belts, the Raw belt, and I believe what's called the SmackDown belt. She's got both of them, so she's a big deal. But this interview ended up making waves because in it, this Becky Lynch, who has quite a mouth on her, managed to call out Ronda Rousey, Chris Cyborg, who's this other top female mixed martial artist, and the biggest star of them all, Conor McGregor, all in one interview. And I believe she, in this clip that we're about to preview, I believe she mentions all three of them in this clip, so you can see how that could make waves, and it certainly did. Here's a taste of Chad Deuce's interview, which made headlines all over the MMA and wrestling communities.
And then, of course, when you get to the level you're at, other people use your name to try to, you know, move their career forward. Chris Cyborg has been all about trying to work out something where she's in a wrestling ring with you. Is that a road you'd want to go down?
Look, here's the thing. Chris Cyborg, again, another very talented professional in her field. Look, if anybody loves this, if anybody's going to obsess about this, if anybody's going to put in the work, then do it. But you can't just come from another field and expect to be handed everything. Rhonda was, but then we showed her the door quite quickly a year later. So, if Chris Cyborg wants to work, if she wants to get training, if she wants to pay her dues, then by all means. But if she thinks that she can step from an MMA world into my world, well, then that's a whole different kettle of fish. No less than if I just went into her field without any proper training in that field. This is a different sport, and this is a different grind that not everybody is able for.
One guy that I think, though, that could make bridge that gap, and I've seen you on social media putting that solicit out there. What's it going to take for you to get Conor McGregor to come over? I think that would be a tremendous stable if you guys wanted to form one up.
Oh, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the future holds for Conor, but like I said, again, if he wants to work for it, by all means, come on, Conor, I'll give you a little bit of training.
Excellent. Love to see that.
I'll show you the ropes.
So congratulations to Big Shooter for nailing the top spot this week. I mean, really, it was by a vast margin. That interview exploded, which is great for business, best for business. You can obviously catch the full interview at cdvtw.com, cdvtw.com. When we come back, my favorite segment of the week, your favorite segment of the week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you for one final segment, my favorite segment. It's the Junkies Rewind. Now, here's what I'm going to need you to listen for here. Tommy Davidson is obviously a hilarious comedian, been around 4 years. He was in studio with the Junkies. JP said something extremely offensive. I didn't catch this at first. It took Dukes bringing it up later. JP said something extremely offensive to Tommy Davidson. Let's see if you can catch it yourself, and then we'll reconvene on the other side of the rewind with the big reveal. Without further ado, let's give it up for this week's Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
Joining us in studio now is comedian Tommy Davidson. You can catch at the DC Improv all weekend, and he's playing
the air keyboards.
Air keyboards.
Nice. Got some coffee for him, cakes. Nice job there, buddy.
I don't even know. Do you have musical skills?
No. I got some skills. I got some vocal skills.
Jamie Foxx, I think, when In Living Color was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I had
But
no
he's
clue.
Official.
No, yeah, he's right. The real
I know,
deal.
But I mean,
yeah,
when we watched official. In Living Color back in the day, you had no idea.
Right.
Correct. That's not a preposterous question.
It's not a preposterous question.
Right. You know, can sing, though?
He's like, let's say, Rice when it comes to music. And I'm like Moss.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Can you sing his famous lyric from that Kanye song?
It gave me money. It's not needs. That's actually a sample. That's James Brown.
Is that what that is?
That's a sample.
And you could sing that, though? Kind of sounded like it.
No. Yeah, close. You knew what he was singing.
Yeah, I did. He's really good.
How close was that?
That's pretty close. It was not bad.
I could do a Frampton live.
How about that?
It's pretty good. It also tells me he's trending old along with
us. Yes,
doing
yeah.
Frampton live.
Yeah. Who said I wasn't?
Did you? It drove me crazy when I saw your castmate in Living Color, David Alan Greer.
Okay.
He's cast like in this show. I don't know the name of it.
Where he looks 70.
where he's like a senior citizen.
They're going to tell him to stop doing that.
He doesn't care.
With he doesn't care.
Alan Greer. I was like, man.
I know. I'm like, you're making us seem old. But he does not care.
But there's no coming back from that,
I know. Once now, you're there.
He's 62.
He's almost like Sanford and Son.
He's 62.
He's 62. And that he's playing like an 80-year-old.
Right. He wants to play like 45 at 62.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
He's trending old. Yeah.
No,
older.
He does not care. He says, I go there. He goes, Tom, you know, I go in. I read the script. I go to my dressing room for the rest of the day. They come back and say, hey, man, you got any jokes for this thing? Nah. And he goes, nah, man, that thing is tight.
He doesn't need to edit. No.
Good enough.
He's like, it's good the way it is.
Right. Oh, we just celebrated real big at Tribeca Film Festival.
Okay.
They screened in Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole cast was there. Well, quarter of the cast was there. And we did a big panel. It was like sexy.
Wow. And what was that?
It was sexy. That was just last week.
No, but why? Weekend. Why did they do that?
Because they... Tribeca just said that it was the show of the whole decade, and they wanted to celebrate it.
Has there been a show anywhere near sort of as influential as that in the last?
What was that sound like?
That was such a, I don't.
That sounded like The Omen.
It was such a great show. So many great stars came of it.
Yeah.
But it really did have a short run, though, right? How many years did it run?
Five.
Five.
How
old were you?
I'm 27, 8, no, 26.
Really?
In your 20s.
I was 24, 23, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28.
Right.
From 24 to 28.
I can't believe it was that long ago, because it almost seems like yesterday. If you think about all the stars that came from that show, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I was like, in that, this is sports, so I'm going to be doing all sports analogies. In that scenario, I was sort of like a Curtis Martin, just a fine back.
Well,
it's a really fine.
Well, no, you had
he's
a big,
like a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, see,
that's good. Okay. Good cop
he'll
for you.
Take that.
Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk.
He's definitely a Hall
definitely
of Famer.
Definitely a Hall of Famer. You take 100%
that. 100% Hall of
Famer. You ever seen him play in college? You ever seen?
Oh, who were the other guys?
Oh my God!
He was. So you were Marshall Faulk. Boys.
Who were the other guys?
Who were the other guys? Jim Carrey. I don't know. I'd say he was probably a Wolverine, benched for a long time. Got into the pros, picked up by Bill Belichick, and just went.
So you feel like he was underappreciated when he was on the show?
Yeah, well, before that. Because Jim was actually a badass stand-up.
Right.
Like, he was, Robin Williams-esque.
But widely known, though, right?
No, he wasn't.
He was a comics comic?
And he killed. He killed everything he touched. He had movies, but he had a couple of TV things that happened, mm-hmm. but they didn't go
hit.
For him. Like, via Visa drawing that parallel with Brady in Michigan. When he went pro, and he had his opportunity. He went pro, but didn't have an opportunity because Bledsoe was the guy, right? So when he got his opportunity, which was I can't go hard. I cannot go hard like y'all. I told you my teams are like the Vikings, the Orioles, the Sixers, and the Devils.
Was that random?
Yeah, so it's
so
like,
weird.
I have
the
no,
New Jersey Devils?
I have no business in a sports station.
Now you're local.
You're all over the place, man.
think about when they were good.
Yeah,
being a fan since '69 since I knew about sports. I mean, when I was five, Vikings were that was my team. They had all white running backs.
Who were the white running backs?
I remember Chuck Foreman back in the day. He was a brother.
Yeah, Chuck Foreman.
He didn't come in late until later. He came. He was like a first round draft choice from Miami. I know I'm a Viking fan. So now
I gotta look up when you were born.
Somewhere
you're a little older than us.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Jim Osborne and Ed Marinara.
Oh wow! But you also
a little before our time. But we've heard of Marinara.
You guys come in when
we were born in 1970.
Born in 70. Yeah.
70. So you guys don't come in until the Redskins are like in.
They were bad.
No. You guys come in when they are starting to do Super Bowl runs.
Well, when they were 11,
you guys
12,
are like a
13.
9, 10 when they're, they're becoming
82, Hawks. 83, we were 12, 13, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you guys mature more. You guys are like, yay, go Doug Williams. Like, you guys are like,
Joe Theismann, Doug Williams.
That's the, yeah.
But you mentioned Orioles because you have local ties. and you went to BCC High School.
I went to Bethesda Chevy Chase High School.
Where my daughter currently.
You're a Baron.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
BCC Barons. Yeah, they suck bad.
Is he the most notable? We were talking about notables the other
day. You might have to be.
Are you the most notable alum
of BCC?
I think so.
Would you say, because we have, we both went to Eleanor Roosevelt, which is in Greenbelt.
I know. That's Martin, right?
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, Martin Lawrence.
And Sergey Brin from Google. It's pretty good.
Okay, that's really good.
It's pretty good. Right?
That's better than Martin.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's right, better than Martin.
Okay. There's a lot of notables, but I'm not sure we care about him.
No, the guy from Home Alone went to BCC.
Macaulay Culkin?
No. No. Not Macaulay Culkin.
He's not a guy.
Well, when you say the guy from Home Alone, that's Macaulay Culkin.
The bad guy. There's the
Joe Pesci?
Daniel Stern.
Stern went to BCC.
Okay.
Did Daniel Stern?
Yes, I know he's local,
Blair.
So that makes sense.
Daniel Stern did go there. No, he did. You're right.
Yeah, but Blair High School beats us. They trump us. They have
I'm not sure Sly. They still do.
They have Sly.
Sly.
And I hear Elvis went there, too, for a second.
Elvis Presley?
Presley.
Elvis Gerback? Elvis, I'm running out
Elvis
of Elvises.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley, the big one.
But that's more of a
Doomerville.
Of a legend.
You're pretty much the biggest.
Yeah, I'll take that though.
You're
I deserve
much the biggest.
Like, I deserve that, man.
Take those accolades.
I deserve that, man. I was a kid there. I was like taking weed breaks behind the bleachers and like, you know, I was.
Did they
kid.
Have open lunch when you went there? They do now for the kids, so they can go to Bethesda.
What's open?
Oh,
we had
they
that.
Can walk around.
We can do whatever
they want.
But I was, you know, in school part time, and I worked at the hospital. A Navy Medical Hospital up on Wisconsin Avenue.
Look at that.
During school, and I barely graduated, you know. And I
were
went
you
to,
doing
I
stand to, up at that time?
No,
when
I
did
was
you
nowhere
start
around.
Stand up?
I started stand up in like 84 or 85.
So you were much older. You're like 21, 22 when you started doing that.
Yeah, I'm like there. And
locally, did you start stand up?
I started at the Penthouse Strip Club on Georgia Avenue.
Nice. I'm guessing it's not still up and running.
Did you ever
it's
play?
It's up and running.
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing my book, and we have a picture of it in my book.
Really?
It's still up, but it's.
What's it called now?
It's called the Penthouse something. They added something to make it.
They spiced it up.
Yeah.
Why have I never heard of it? I should have.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's in the hood.
Did you ever play?
It's right up the street from Howard. It's bad. It was the worst strip club ever.
Although you can attest to this, DC has far less hood than ever.
I mean,
just driving around here.
You know, it doesn't make me any difference how it's changed so much. You know, this company's cosmopolitan. There's nothing to eat at night anymore. I drove around for like almost 2 hours last night in metropolitan Washington, D.C., and there's no night spots for food. Even Chinatown's closed down.
Chinatown's a lot smaller.
You used to be able to go there all night, and there was food.
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, Cosmo, yeah, yay.
What time
if
are you talking about?
If you can't get no food.
What time are you talking about?
I'm talking like 3:30.
In the afternoon?
What?
Night.
3:30 a.m.? Oh, yeah. 3:30 a.m. I mean, that's really, that's morning.
You can get food in D.C. then.
Did you ever play an old comedy
I'm
club
I'm from
called?
The real D.C.
Did you ever play an old club called the Comedy Cafe? Do you remember that?
I did.
Yeah.
I played.
It was like on 16th or 17th
It was
Street
on 16th.
Or something?
And it was like,
something like
yeah.
that. Because we used to
I
go
did
there
that
in
Garvin's.
High school.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't really touch a comedy club till I was actually into a year. I did concerts.
Right.
I did the Carter Baron. I opened for Patti LaBelle when she came here. Kenny G, I was just talking about. I
got How'd you the get note, those I gigs? Got
the, did people
somebody,
care?
Somebody
I told
me about
I've
that.
Always heard about those things that mm-hmm. comedians would open up concerts. Mm-hmm. And I got to imagine that nobody really cares. They're just for the concert. Or would you have to
That'd
win them over?
Miserable,
like, what was
right?
it like?
For me, it was the ticket to heaven. You know,
right.
you know, it because I
just
killed.
A big audience.
I killed. I was ready.
Right. Yeah.
I did singing impressions and stuff.
Right.
Wow. You know, so I did, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, Michael McDonald. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was with them in the beginning. You tell me I'll be the one to be my beginning.
That's got to kill at a Kenny G show.
So
yeah. That out of the palm of their hands. They love that.
And it's instant, huh?
Yeah, right.
It just happened just really fast.
Right.
So, sir, you guys are looking at me like.
Well, it's amazing.
Where did he go?
So many things.
Where did he go, man? And so I met those people years ago. To this day, I still know them. I was telling the woman at the club, I was telling Allison, I was saying, I ran into Kenny G this summer. Now, Kenny's rich, man. Kenny owns
of course.
Starbucks.
Yeah,
Kenny's
I mean, partner he's loaded. Starbucks. Is that true?
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of
yeah,
them?
Yeah. He,
I'm going to look up his net worth
great
right
guy,
now.
Great, beautiful person. I toured with him.
You toured with him back when he wasn't?
Back, no, when he was
like
Kenny
a regular
G.
guy?
No, when yeah. he was Kenny G.
Okay.
He started out as Kenny G.
His net worth is $50 you know? Million, according
yeah,
to the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I think, I don't know. But I performed with him at this summer at this wine place.
Right.
Cool wine.
Yeah, like a festival.
Thing. Oh, it was
yeah,
nice, you know. And I'm there sitting talking to him, his keyboard player. He says, you know, we were talking at some stadium somewhere. And he said, that was 31 years ago. He
tells me, you're kidding.
I'm going, man, you know what? It was. Like, I'm still here.
Can you believe it?
This is pretty cool.
But don't you
are you enjoying it as much? Like,
more.
When you're in Living Color, you're super famous, and now you're doing, you know, stand-up, and I'm sure you're doing very well, but your level of fame is not where it was.
It's a different kind.
Yeah, but Tommy's instantly recognizable,
yeah,
though. He still
yeah,
has
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
but
see,
skinny.
But I'll take that. No, but you got to say, the level of fame now is like... Why am I grabbing this? level of fame now is different because a kid sitting on a toilet that does the right poem is more famous than me because there's social media now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you know.
Do you do that, or do you have like big Instagram, big social media
no,
following? You're not.
No,
thinking
I
that?
Actually, I actually.
Because dude, you could turn that into a mint.
Of course, but I. You know, I read. That's my phone. Sorry.
Go ahead. Do you want to answer it? Yeah. Go answer.
You're a busy, important man.
By your wife.
Of course you're getting phone calls.
These guys.
While you're
probably,
on the
air. Probably his wife. He told me he and his wife, they're buying houses all over the place.
Oh, he's a real estate baron?
Yes.
He's a BCC baron and a real
and
estate
a baron.
Baron.
Yes. I'm a baron in general.
Apparently you
since
are. You went into your Michael McDonald. When you were in Living Color, you were Homie the Clown, right?
No, I wasn't Homie.
I'm forgetting. He
you
was with Homie.
That's so funny.
What I wanted to get
this guy. Give me that memo. Give me that memo.
I just looked
yes,
at
here's the memo.
Right?
In Living Color.
I looked at Wikipedia. Wikipedia got me, but I forgot. But you did Sugar Ray Leonard, and you did Sammy Davis Jr.
I did Sugar Ray Leonard.
I don't remember the Sugar Ray Leonard.
It's not something you can really forget.
A lot of facial stuff.
Yeah. The thing about Sugar Ray Leonard was not only a good puncher, but a good fighter. He would stutter a lot, so he learned not to stutter, so he would hesitate when he talked, do a lot of smiling, make himself look real dynamic. Long-time fighter, real, real big champion. Not a good communicator in that sense, but could make it look like he is.
Right.
The key there is the moving his fist. He's channeling Sugar Ray Leonard.
He looked at me one time when I was doing that. He loved it.
But yeah.
We were on our local news radio show in New York. TV show. Look, and I did it, and everybody's laughing, you know, and I look back, and he's looking at me like, and he gave me a look, and I knew, like, he'll kick my ass.
Oh, yeah. Of course he would.
Was he an idol
looked at me like that, man.
Because
like,
when you lived in this area, that's when he was in his heyday.
Yeah.
When he lived
yeah,
in this
I boxed
area.
Here.
Yeah.
I boxed
you
here.
Did.
Yeah, I boxed here for some significant years.
Really? Where was
I won
club?
The US
What was your gym?
I won the, I lost the Potomac Valley Finals for the Olympic trials that
really?
Were going to come up.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty successful.
Where did you fight out of?
I fought out of Silver Spring. It was called SSI. The club was called SSI. And
right.
we fought all of the clubs here
the
in D.C.
Right.
and Virginia and around. And I started actually fighting in Ohio. And I think I was doing pretty good. And I actually
what
ran,
did you fight at? What weight?
112. 112.
What is that, like
but
super
I moved up,
flyweight?
That's I mean, bantam. That?
Bantam.
I mean, super
okay.
bantam.
Okay.
But I moved up to, when I got 17, I moved up to 119, which was not good.
Right.
But because
that's a
you're,
big difference, huh?
I mean, you're fighting grown men. I was 17. I was fighting like
119.
Yeah, but there's little grown men that are like 25 right. years old, you know.
Right.
Fighting
listen,
you.
Do you still have the hands? Let me see.
Of course I got the hands. I'm from D.C. We all got hands. We all think we do. Yeah. But I run into the guy that I fought in the Potomac Valley Finals for the Nationals. I ran into him at an Oscar party that I was hosting.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys drop the gloves?
He walks up to me. right there. Hey, you again. Let's do it again. Yeah, and believe it or not, he says, hey, Tommy, you know, and I'm going, yeah, hey, nice to meet you, because I'm thinking he's thinking Tommy Davidson. You know. He says, it's Vincent Pettaway. I go, oh, okay, how you doing, man? He goes, Tommy, it's Vincent Pettaway. I go, yeah, hey, how you doing, man? Right. He goes, Tommy, it's Vincent, the one who fought you in the – I was like, oh, my God. It was him. Wow. There he was. Cool.
How did he look? He looked good? He's still 120 pounds?
He still looked good.
Or is he a little chunky
now? Yeah, I didn't get knocked out.
Yeah.
Right. I got a standing eight count with 20-something seconds left in the third round.
Right.
And that wasn't good. I lost.
All right, Tommy Davidson is here. I see Adam is here. You're not going anywhere, Tommy. So you missed all this, but these guys are breaking my balls. At Chick-fil-A.
What kind of shirt? Always, he's got on a Navy shirt.
I know. Ignore him. These guys are breaking my balls that I always order the grilled chicken sandwich when I go to Chick-fil-A. I don't order the original, right? They're telling me I'm a moron. So
it's kind of out there.
He says they order 50-1 the original chicken sandwich to the grilled chicken sandwich.
I might be underselling it to them.
That's more than that.
Yeah.
You right, so you don't go there for the grilled chicken.
No, of course you don't.
I go for the grilled chicken. So I'm going to do a taste test. If you want, you can do. I'm going to maintain the grilled chicken tastes just as good as
that. By the way, it's not really a fair taste test because it's a biased taste test.
You
want grilled
own.
Chicken to win.
Cut it into quarters or something. The time. I'm telling you guys, sleep on the grilled chicken. It's moist. It's greasy. It's flavorful.
It's just not as good.
Will you participate with me?
Of course.
All right. We can do that when we come back.
The Chunky's Rewind. On the download.
Okay. If you missed it, at the beginning of the Chunky's Rewind, I told you we would listen for the extremely offensive thing that JP said, and then meet back here on the other side of the rewind and have a big reveal. If somehow you missed it, this was the offensive thing that JP said to Tommy Davidson.
When you were in Living Color, you were Homie the Clown, right?
No, I wasn't Homie.
I'm forgetting.
He was with Homie. That's so funny.
What I wanted to get to this guy. Give me that memo. Give me that memo.
Here's the memo in Living Color.
I looked at Wikipedia.
Wikipedia got me, but I forgot. But
how awkward is that? That's so brutal. Tommy Davidson took it like in stride, but that's just so. JP mixed up Tommy Davidson with Damon Wayans. Everybody knows that Damon Wayans played Homie the Clown. Everybody. The guy standing right in front of him is sitting right in front of him, and he confuses him for Damon Wayans in person. That's just brutally awkward. I gotta get out of here, guys. I'll see you same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. I am off to Tom Daly's wedding. I can't believe the day is finally here. In the meantime, you can reach me on Twitter at Chris Lingbach and check the podcast. Head to iTunes and subscribe to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. That's Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. That's me and all of the other non-primetime hosts here. It really helps for you to help us out in that regard. And thanks to Jim Jester. I'll see you guys next Saturday. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.